Hans, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tony.
I tell you what, with the oil leak in the Gulf and in the Kalamazoo River, I have learned more about drilling and leaks and oil than I ever thought I would. It's an interesting topic when you think about how much drilling is being done in the state and the country, as well as the planet. And there's a lot of danger there, but yet I guess the drilling must go on.
Well, energy, oil, natural gas, these are the issues of our times that are driving our economy. And in the coming years, this country, our state, is going to have to make some big decisions about what direction we're going. Our organization is an advocate for energy conservation, for using less energy, for using local green energy when possible. But in any transitional strategy, you've got to have oil and gas development and the acquisition of the main fuel source that fuels our economy. So the question for people in Michigan is, what do we do when faced with those choices?
Well, elaborate a little bit more on what the Michigan Land Use Institute does.
Well, we are a nonprofit group based up in Traverse City. We've been working on oil and gas development issues for 15 years. We've been working on transportation issues, which is a big part of the energy sector. We are climate change activists. We are trying to raise awareness about the importance of the international, global issues at stake here. And we try to help local economies figure out how to create quality places that attract strong local economies. So we're a mixed organization. We do advocacy, we do research, and we've worked a lot in the oil and gas business as a public information resource over the years.
Last week we talked with Jocelyn Tromp from the Detroit News, and we talked more about crude oil and its industry here. The $1.2 billion a year oil and gas industry is a modest player in Michigan's economy, is a line out of her story from last week's Detroit News. But she talked about how the situation could change because the Great Lake state of Michigan is shale rich and could be sitting on top of the next real big demand for a natural resource. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, Michigan has always been a relatively competitive oil and gas production state. Depending on the decade and the level of development across the country, we've ranged anywhere from the 13th to the 9th most productive state for producing oil and gas from wells here drilled and mostly in the Lower Peninsula. What's being considered now is a deeper formation of shale called the Collingwood Shale that has the potential, based on at least one test well, there are others that are being explored now, to show a much higher level of production than what we've seen in the past, which has already established Michigan as a lead state. And there's opportunity there, creating our own energy. Natural gas has some benefits over oil, over coal, in terms of energy production and carbon emissions. But there are also great risks. And with this type of deeper shale development, these wells go down up to 10,000 feet, which is much deeper than any of the previous development strategies here in Michigan. It comes with additional risk of water contamination. The plain use of water for each well can be 2, 3, 4 million gallons to pump down the well in this procedure called fracking, which basically, through high-pressure injection of water mixed with other chemicals, is designed to crack the shale so that it releases the gas up the pipe to the surface. So this is a new ball game for Michigan. There are oil companies, oil and gas development companies that are out talking to landowners across the state, and it's very important that landowners recognize that it's the stage in the process where a lease is signed where the most direction is determined for what's going to happen. And one of the issues that we advocate for is more information to private landowners. A lot of them are farmers who would really benefit from a few thousand dollars a year in royalties, to first take a careful look at that lease, talk to an attorney. You know, it's not always easy to find a few hundred bucks and call an attorney for some advice on a contract, but in our experiences, in the long run, landowners who negotiate a strong lease with the assistance of an attorney can make much more money down the road, and perhaps more importantly, make sure the environmental safeguards and other operating procedures are up to standard with what they hope to see. Once that lease is signed, then it's sort of a deal, and the oil company is going to follow the terms of those leases, and if they're broad, you know, it can bring a lot of surprises onto local landowners.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS 655, and we're talking with Hans Voss from the Michigan Land Use Institute. Hans, how much can a person make? I know it depends how much oil is found, how much of your land is being drilled, but is there a monetary number you can throw at us?
Well, it does range considerably, and oftentimes it's not as lucrative as the initial examples that are described by the oil and gas leasing agents. However, there are landowners who have carefully negotiated leases and are developing oil and gas on their property that are making serious income and really offsetting their other economy challenges with this development. You know, there's a bonus fee, so that if you have 50 acres, you can sign a fee that would be anywhere from $10 to $50, sometimes $100 an acre, up sometimes beyond that if it's a highly productive area. So that can be significant. And then you get what's called a royalty, which is a percentage of the production of the well, which, again, is highly negotiable, can be as small as a 16th or an 8th, up to 1/6 and sometimes 1/4. So by negotiating up the bonus land fees per acre and up the level of royalty can make a significant difference in how much is actually seen. I've seen other instances where a lot of development has occurred, maybe the well hasn't produced as much as they had thought, and the landowner barely makes any money, but they have a service truck coming into a gas well in the back of their farm that is really not adding much value. When they don't make money, it's a real shame.
Is drilling for oil, shale, or shale safe, and do we have a lot of experience with that?
Well, it's a big question right now. Many states are conducting comprehensive state-led evaluations of the risks of this type of deeper shale. State of New York is passed at their state senate a moratorium on drilling until a full evaluation of risk is established. Michigan has pretty decent oil and gas regulations, but they haven't regulated this type of deep, high water intensive drilling in the past. So I think there are too many questions to come to a conclusion that it's safe. The biggest concern we have is the extraction of groundwater, and when the injection of used water back into these deeper formations has really yet to be determined what effect that has on drinking water and connected streams and lakes.
And then finally, Hans, as we were talking about when I talked with you last week with the Enbridge situation in the Kalamazoo River and, of course, what's happened in the Gulf, there are a lot of lawmakers who want to make it more challenging for people to drill for anything in the state of Michigan, and of course that's going to affect oil shale.
Yep. Well, you know, it's an important moment of awareness in our country about the impacts of our dependence on fossil fuels. There's a piece of legislation now in the Michigan legislature that would change the constitution of the state to permanently prohibit drilling for oil and gas under the Great Lakes. We support that bill because we believe that there are some natural resources that need to be protected no matter what. The Great Lakes, not only environmentally but economically, are the defining asset of our state. And I think it's a question that we all have to ask ourselves personally, that there is an outcome to our behavior, and what can we do as individuals to conserve, to just be more careful, to reduce our footprint on the planet. And I believe that it's not only a political, legislative solution, but it takes people to really think about what it is that they're doing that contributes. You know, the Gulf oil disaster was just a horrific environmental calamity. But, you know, I have a hard time with individuals who point fingers and blame BP and say, oh, that company's just a bad company. Well, we're buying the gas. Let us not separate ourselves too much from the contamination issues that we're so concerned about.
Hans, thanks so much. I get a feeling that you and I are going to be talking a lot more. Appreciate your time and knowledge.
Anytime, Tony. Thank you.